to lead in prayer of praise or petition, thinking of the Lord mighty in battle. Break my heart for what breaks yours. He's the majesty, the one to whom we must bow. Perhaps if one or two would lead by the inspiration of the Spirit now, don't worry if your voice can't be heard, just bring a prayer of praise or a word from the Lord.
Lord, there's so much more we could ever imagine. Just help us to bring our praise to you now, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We love you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Us all. Amen.
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 Lord, you are already walking on the water towards us all. Give us courage to step out of that boat and stand with you and do amazing things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for this wonderful week, for these lovely children, and for being able to be part of a great team. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, you are indeed mighty in battle. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us in our battles.
Amen. Do please be seated. Going to veer off slightly from my own script of giving a general comment about the Psalms and then a particular point about one, probably dovetail the two points together with reference to Psalm 24, which is our psalm for today. There is something very beautiful, as you've heard me reflect on, the cross, Jesus there in Psalm 22, and then the Lord guiding us, his crook, Psalm 23, and now the Lord and his crown. And as we've been praying, what does it mean for the Lord to be king and the Lord to be mighty in battle? The general point I want to make from the Psalms is, and it's there quite explicitly right from the word go in Psalm 24. I think I'll read a few verses at a time and pause to comment. And the general point across the Psalms that I want to make is that of integration. The fact that God is there and we are here. How do those kind of two things get together? How are they integrated? And it seems to me in the Psalms we're provided with a beautiful model, a God-given gift as to how to integrate the two, the fact that God is there and we are here. See if I can remember my own thoughts as to what I was asking you to remember. There's Israel's songbook, the Psalms are better said together. There's the full expression of feelings, the importance of honesty. And for the life of me, I can't remember yesterday's...
Memory.
Memory. Yay! I well and truly fell into that one. Well, I meant to remember the Psalms, not my talk. That's my get-out clause. How bad is that? Anyway, integration. The integration of the epistles is you have a whole section of Christian belief. And then towards the end, maybe the last chapter or the last few verses, something on behavior, how our belief affects behavior. In the Psalms, this integration process seems to me is a lot more closely intertwined. You can almost feel as you pray these prayers that they're designed to do that. I can still remember saying to someone in my very young Christian days, I feel scared of praying. Not praying inside quietly, but perhaps praying out loud. I wasn't kind of sure how to construct the words. God bless Mummy and Daddy, whilst that's an appropriate prayer, just didn't feel kind of real enough. And this dear lady said to me, we'll try the Psalms, because they're God's way of helping us to pray, to integrate the fact that God's there and we're here. So Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Summarizing the fact that God is there, the whole of Genesis 1, he's made the world, that is it. It doesn't matter what your non-believing friends think or the watching world will mock you over, this is it. And in our very best moments, it's almost beyond argument. The earth is the Lord's. The earth I'm walking on, this very ground, is his and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas. Beautiful poetic picture of disorder and chaos as God's Spirit brooded it over the waters and then brought creation to life. And he established it upon the waters. And so the point of integration, because God is there and he's not going to move, how is my life going to be lived in accordance with it? In the very next verse, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Interesting, a question. We've had that question later on. Who is this King of Glory? Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. God is there. The instinctive and right response, therefore, is that we need to be holy, that we need to have a pure heart and clean hands. They were, as I've said earlier, approaching the temple. Perhaps there was something in them that God's holy presence would be there. But neither whether they're near church or whether they're near a holy person or not, the fact is that God is there and we are who we are. The most important point of integration is I need to have a clean hand, clean heart, pure heart and clean hands. And there are some lovely promises that go on from this point of integration. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Absolutely brilliant to have so many green shirts here today. You are not the church of the future, you are the church of today. But there is a sense in which those people that are wearing red shirts, and some of them have got yellow shirts on, are of a different generation to you. Who knows what's going to happen when the generation that follows you comes on after you. There is a very real sense in our country today, because of the huge numbers of children that are not educated in Christian things, because of the vast numbers that never go to church, what is the next generation going to look like? We just don't know. But that God is there is not going to move. That we need to respond with holiness and a clean hand is God's given way of that fact being integrated. When it happens, that we will be blessed is incontrovertibly true. And when that happens, that generation that seeks the Lord will be blessed. And then we've had this already. Would it be possible to have those psalm words put up on the screen again? We'll see if we can do the refrain as I read these words together. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
There's obviously a sense in which this refrain repeats itself, because we're to be encouraged to remember it. And God's people come in procession to the temple gates and the doors. They ask for the doors to be opened, to be lifted up. And there are people inside the temple responsible for running it. And this question and this interchange goes forward. As we've been praying already, what is your battle? Are you conscious that this King of Glory is in charge of it all, and is in charge of your day? Lift up, you gates. What does that mean? Perhaps I think it means, well, this is at the end of the procession. I sometimes think the hardest battle is the first thing you face in the morning. I'm not on a downer at smartphones, but I could be. But there is current research that's showing that not just the use of smartphone depletes and diminishes concentration span and our ability to relate to people ordinarily, but there's another little known piece of research that if it's the first thing you do with your day, to touch something electronic, to touch something that's smartphone indicated, and you get the endorphin reaction from that, you're tramlined for the bulk of the rest of the day. Of course you can wean yourself off it, but there's energy to wean yourself off it to get back on the straight and narrow again. What do most people do in the morning? What should most Christians do in the morning? Start the day, start the battle, start the day with the Lord. The Lord is the King of Glory. The earth is the Lord and everything in it. This day belongs to God. And so therefore I'll wait until I feel better and I've done this and that and the other, and your tram lines have started through the rest of the day, and then, oh gosh, I've forgotten him. Find some way of starting the first part of the day with God, and you'll find the tram lines will be a lot easier through the day. This is one of my favourites. There are two sorts of people in the world, those who say good morning God and those who say good God it's morning. However you are, find a way to get, oh, good God, it's morning, out of your system and say good morning, God, whether you're opening the curtains in the name of the Father and of the Son, or I've done two, I need to find another one, and of the Holy Spirit, or whether you're stretching like that, oh, no, better not, in the name of the Father. Start the day with God. Don't just go to the phone, go to the book. Remember that. The earth belongs to God. You're there. This day belongs to Him. You're there. You'll not get it again. The most important battle actually is the battle at the start of the day. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty in battle, who can be with us and can bless us. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Bible. May it be a lantern to our feet and a light to our paths. We particularly pray for the start of every day. Help us to start it with you and to know your presence with us. We pray for those battles. And we pray for those blessings that we know that can be ours. Please help us to integrate our faith, our trust that you're there, into our daily lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen.